Not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
When you hear that sound, you know you're in the Purge Pod. Welcome back to another episode of the Purge Podcast. If you're hearing me with not so great quality, it's because I am currently in New York in Forrest's apartment. Him and his wife Sarah are gone on their honeymoon, and I happen to be here, so it worked out perfectly where we don't see each other. Johnny, it's good to see you. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, man. 2024 has started off, just busy. Just shout out, though, seeing Forrest and Sarah's shoe wall behind you. It immediately recognized where you were at. Also, like the trust value. I don't know if I would give you the keys to my place. Just be like, oh, yeah, just do whatever you want.
I did find one of their weed pens, and what I will say is that shit is strong. It is very strong here, or whatever they
opening
buy.
Drawers in their place when they're gone.
Yeah, come on. I did have to make sure that they turned off their cameras. So they had doggy cameras.
They can remote those on. I think they probably did. Let's see what TJ's doing in our house. You're just walking around naked.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, nice. What's a little wiener doing?
So Johnny, I hear you might have an update for us.
Yes, there is an update. The biggest one, partly of why we were delayed. We're not going to give it all, but we are going to wait till Josh joins us. But the big announcement is the weekend, I believe, of August 16th through the 18th, or perhaps maybe it's the 15th to the 18th, whatever that Thursday to Sunday is, and of August, we will be going to San Diego.
San Diego.
We'll be going to San Diego. We'll give you more details into why we decided this when Josh joins. But San Diego has been decided. The league spoke, and that is the best route for everybody. I think the only person who couldn't go to that was Joe, because he will be within 6 months of having a baby. So there's still even a potential that he would be able to slide in. So he said he's landlocked with his spouse, but there still would be a chance that he could probably make it. The other note, Josh and I have already bought our tickets.
Oh.
We're not going to have to, or you shouldn't, but there will be incentives for those who buy their tickets the fastest. More to come on that, but just want to point that out.
Interesting.
The tickets have been bought, and I will confirm it right now as we speak, the actual
dates. That mean that you guys get the incentives for already being booked?
No. So, yeah, it is a weekend. So Thursday is the 15th, the 18th is the Sunday, San Diego.
Okay.
And more to come on the benefits. We highly recommend everybody get their tickets by the end of March.
I appreciate the Field of Dreams strategy of if you book it, they will come. Very nice. Sounds great. Yeah. I'm happy that Zach and Tim will be able to attend since we're not leaving the country or the state. So that'll be very nice.
More to come on. We'll get into the details of why we chose San Diego and what also was on the list.
Nice.
Yes, everybody. We are excited to see you in August for a lovely long weekend in San Diego.
I would like to also point out there are rumors that the wives are planning on co-attending this or being in the same area, which I don't mind, but I do want the record to show that I will not see or entertain or hang out with kids or your wives the entire time. Darko doesn't do that.
I heard this rumor, but only if it was in Mexico City.
So I think that's going to work out.
I did hear it was Mexico City. Like I said, we'll get more details. I really wanted Mexico City, obviously. I didn't know if like the Mexico thing was true or not. If people could actually, I didn't know if that was actually a real thing that they weren't allowed.
I would bet that not everyone in this league has a up to date passport. I would bet that some people would have to go and get their passport renewed.
We will be having a draft in Mexico City at some point, whether it's an official one or like if anybody wants to just come for a weekend, like we will absolutely do one. It is, I've been dying. I think only a handful of people have been to Mexico City and only a handful have been since I moved there. I know everyone will love it and it will be a really fun time. Just we'll make it happen eventually.
You need in the U.S. to start dying down on the whole, the cartels are feuding and killing people in Cancun and stuff like at the resorts. Like that needs to go, even though that's nowhere near Mexico City.
That's the equivalent of something in Texas happening and reporting on it in New York.
I didn't say it was logical. I didn't say there was any logic to it. I'm just saying that's what needs to die down for the Mexico City draft to happen.
You are completely, how do I want to phrase this? It is so much more safe in Mexico City than it is in the coastal towns. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, convincing others and wives, it's going
to
be a little different.
That has nothing to do with it. If somebody doesn't want to go to Mexico City because of something that's happening in Cancun, then you should probably just never leave your house. I can't even. Hey, there's a bomb going off in Gaza. You probably shouldn't go to Africa. Yikes. You know what I mean? Like, that's the same shit.
I get you. I'm going to have to check the geographical mileage.
There was a cat was shot in fucking New York. You probably shouldn't go to fucking Arizona.
Your hypotheticals are out of control right
now. I want to show how extreme that is. Okay, Johnny, really quick before we jump into the awards, the point of this pod, we may go a little bit longer than usual because we want to get into the rankings of baseball keepers because we are just a few days away from our baseball draft. But let's do a quick update on basketball and where we're at and how it's gone for this season.
Yeah, final week right now, right before playoffs. Really, only two matchups I'd say are worth talking about right now. Everyone knows we're on the season. You've got three teams that have punted away, right? With Sam and Donnie and Grack kind of being like, well, we're done. We sold. So really the most important matchup right now is for the bye. It's Gerbert versus the Pizza Cat versus a two game difference in standings. This is going to be close. If Gerbert can pull off a 6-3 here, this could come down to a tiebreaker for who gets the bye, which will make everyone happy because everyone loves the Yahoo default tiebreakers, which I have no idea what it is. I should know that. It's probably head-to-head matchups, but if not, whatever Yahoo does.
Is that something that can be customized?
I think there's one or two options, and they both are not great. And for years, we tried doing, you know, how can we come up with our own? But then the platform doesn't work. It's a lot of work to do the playoff matchups, and it's just not worth it. So we go with whatever the default is. Everyone's bound by the same rule, then is what it is. And then the Sam and Tim matchup is interesting. So Tim currently has a 3-game lead on me for the final playoff spot. Really the only one in contention, unless somehow Brad Brusser gets 10-0'd or 9-0'd this week. Really, no one else is at risk. And if Tim misses, I think it changes the overall kind of landscape of money in this league. Tim came in with a big war chest, competitive going into baseball, and him missing basketball, it's just very hard to win overall when you miss in a sport. It's not impossible, but it's hard. So those are the two matchups really interesting this week. As of right now, it would have Foe in the bye and me in playoffs with Tim missing as we're recording this. So that's a little interesting, but I think where we're going to wind up is Tim's going to make it in. This last week, both Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell are injured. So I lose those two. And I had a bad week versus Forrest. Donovan Mitchell sat a few times and Forrest's team went off. So that 7-2 really killed me.
This is a really tough. This is why basketball is fun now and like why I really think going for the one seed or two, the bye is so important in basketball because this is where you start to see those injuries and guys get sat.
going into the regular, like the end of the regular season. Like every team wants their team to be right for playoffs, and so they often will sit around this time of the year, which happens to coincide with our fantasy playoffs. Which
it's also fun because rookies start getting a ton of play on bad teams for no reason.
Yeah,
and then you get guys like you'll have Amir Thompson all of a sudden just going off, or because he's getting run, which is nice.
Yeah, this is where pickups really matter. You just saw Jakob Poeltl out for the season. Kelly Olynyk all of a sudden becomes like a fucking top 40 player when he plays. It's going to be a really interesting end of the year. I think obviously we didn't talk about the Joker trade since
It's been a while.
The last time we had somebody on, I was asking Zach what he thought about trading him because he just wasn't going to make it happen. And here we are. It happened.
Also, what was the final? $100? How much did it go for?
I think it was 100 or 101. Yeah.
Mm.
For Jokic. For
the Jokic, who has since then downgraded his play. He was the number one overall. Now he's at 6. But
according to, I don't know which ones to look at. Yahoo always switches it up. But the one I'm looking at, he's number 2.
Who's 1? Luka?
No, Shai.
Out of control. All right.
But dude, interesting to see.
And AD. Jesus. Your team is so loaded.
Dude, I'm already preparing for AD to get hurt in the fucking.
Like, yeah, here it comes. Not hurt, but he's going to. I bet you he plays the whole year. For a three or four game week year. Once or twice. Yep.
All right, I mean, it's fucking brutal. Hopefully they're going to keep playing him because he's the reason why they're like even at 500 right now to play in the play-in. So we have four more weeks of basketball after this then? So we should know.
3. So we're in it now and then playoffs.
Bye. So this week, so 3.5. 3.5.
Yeah, right. 3.5 weeks. Yep.
All right, this is going to be, it's going to be a fun one. We'll see. Let's see. Like you said, it's between you and Tim to get that 6th place. And if Tim doesn't, like you guys both have solid baseball keepers, and we'll talk about those in a second. But that, you mentioned it. If you, like you have to make a decision early on in baseball.
Yeah, different trajectory, I think, for both of us. I came into the season with the lowest amount of money because I went for it last year. And we'll get into the thought process of what I was doing with baseball. But for Tim, I think this really affects the league. He has a war chest left. And then it can make it an interesting and football season. So
that's a good segue. Let's dive into the baseball ranking. So like we did for basketball, we're gonna rank everybody's teams 1 through 10, and we're gonna do things a little differently for the awards. We're gonna tie the awards to either the team or an individual player or just like an overall thought as we go through it. And what goes into rankings are obviously the quality of keepers, the cost of the keepers, and then the percentage of your overall remaining budget.
TJ, on your cost, do you also look at value over replacement? I'll give you an example. Matt Olson with Donnie, right? They're keeping him for $24 versus what he could go for. Are you looking at that when you're doing your analysis?
A bit, yeah. I'm not like doing it for the every player, but obviously in that instance, like his value is quite solid, right? So I think that goes into it, but I'm not like, it'd be more about the other way around. I would be like, okay, you're keeping a player for maybe close to $40 when you could have kept another player who's maybe a lesser player for 15, right? And I think that's where.
Oh, it's that rosters on. So I went the other way. I looked at each player, what I think they're going to go for in this draft versus what they're getting kept for. But you you kept this player, but then you could have kept this guy. So it'll be good. It might vary our rankings a little bit, but it's good, I think, for our listeners to understand the process we went through.
Yeah. Let's dive in. Do you want to start from 10 to 1 or do we want to go
10
from
to 1, build to some 10, suspense. 10 to 1. We can maybe throw out the first awards here for the 10 to 1s.
Yeah, so why don't you lead off, Johnny, with who you have at 10?
Okay, so this goes to the first award that we're going to have, and that award. Oh, we didn't even announce what movie we're doing for the awards.
Oh yeah, we didn't because we're so like we. I think when we
want to go
offline. When we talked about off, like we were so obviously we had a lot to catch up on, but also the fact that we offline we were like this movie like wasn't as good as we remembered.
Yeah, classic 90s movie. Everyone in this group, without a doubt, saw this movie at least 100 times.
You went with the sequel instead of the original, too.
Yeah, which is by far better. Yeah, the sequel is, without a doubt, your peak 90s, like, how did this movie get made? The movie is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze. You get a little Vanilla Ice in the movie. It just doesn't hold up that well, though. I'm going to be honest. A little bit more sexist and racist than I remembered that movie being. Recommend a rewatch, but the opening line is an all-timer sexist remark to lead off a movie. Really good stuff. I know you haven't had a chance yet to watch it, Teach, but go back. It's a quick watch, and you're, oh, this is not as good as I remember it being.
It's been a while. I remember, I loved the first one. Like believe it or not, like I actually am on the team original, but I'm on a team a lot of originals.
Yeah. Nothing to the first one, other than Raph getting his ass kicked in like an antique store by 100 Foot Clans, and then some. If Zach DiMaggio was ever a superhero, he would be Casey Jones.
Casey Jones, dude. Also had the biggest crush on April when I was a kid. Loved
it. Stop, babe. Best part of the movies, both of them.
I know. Both amazing. Of them. And then Megan Fox played April O'Neil.
Talk about the new stuff.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Or Seth Rogen's version that he did that was animated. All of it is just
That's right.
It's garbage. All right, and we don't acknowledge the third movie either. The one where they're samurais in like feudal Japan. Did you ever see
that? Oh, yeah.
That one was bad, too. That was really bad.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That's why that whole thing ended. That killed the entire brand for 2 decades.
So good. Oh, my God. That movie was dog shit. Okay. So our first award then, Johnny, that goes back into who we are ranking as our 10th worst team in terms of keepers.
So this award is the They're Stupid. They're not stupid. They're just babies. Okay, they're stupid babies. For me, last place was Grant here. I'm not against two keepers, but when one of them is Ketel Marte, who probably would have gone for $10 to $15, I like Austin Riley. Don't mind it. And they didn't get a ton of value on it, I don't think. He's going to be costing about $34. He probably will go for a little bit more than that. But when I look at it, they had money to spend and they didn't spend it. A bunch of keepers out there that with a war chest like that, I would have expected more. Their keepers, I think, are the second or third lowest overall for their rank. They're the lowest ranked. They're also the least amount of spend. And when you have a war chest, that kind of bothers me a bit. So I have them at dead last. What about you?
I have Grack as my last. Overall, like they have $413, so these keepers were about 11% of that, which was $46. They're playing from behind, right? They don't have a lot of money. They traded away Trey Turner, which I would have done the same thing in their shoes, given like where they're at. Altuve, I think, is ranked in like the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the last ranking I looked at. Overall, I'm not like super impressed with their keepers, but also I don't blame them for where they're at. Like I probably in their shoes, if I was going to do anything different, I may not have kept anybody. I may have just been like maybe tried to keep like one, traded for a stud and kept one, or just said zero and just tried to start with nothing. And because maybe you can get an Altuve for $5 instead of keeping him for 15, right?
Yeah.
Or something with Harris. I don't know.
I think they got a lot of value for Harris. I think Harris would have gone in the mid 20s or 30s just based on the lineup he hits in and him being kind of a dynasty prospect.
That's fair.
You know, I think for them, I have them low too, but I think they got a lot of value for their guys in Harper and Harris kind of being guys in that $25 to $30 range, and they're keeping him for 16 and 15. So I have them a little bit higher, and we can get there. But I see your point, though, that they are, as a core group, one of the lowest rated overall ranked groups. And I can see that. But they did have the least amount of spend of their budget, too. So to your point, I gave them some points there to reward them for being fiscally responsible.
Yeah, again, they're in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the ninth place. Or ninth ranked, not place.
I've got Gerbert here. I frankly don't understand what they're doing. They're competing for a bye right now. and you keep Pablo Lopez? I don't understand it. I don't know if they reached out to people for trades. I think they kept two guys that are going to be good right at their value. Devers for 30-ish is probably where he's going to go. Robert, they probably got a little discounted. He's probably a 30-ish, and they got him for 21. But look, they're in the driver's seat here. They've got funds remaining. In fact, I think they have the largest remaining budget. I think they dropped the ball on this one. I think they should have come after Freddie Freeman. I think they should have gone after Yordan Alvarez or gone another way. When you have that much money left, now you're going to be competing with teams that will not be fiscally responsible in a draft. And they're going to get bit up and they're going to lose out on some guys because they're not going to be willing to do it.
I have them also at ninth here. Yeah. A lot of the reasons you said, they have the budget. Like, I think there's a lot of guys that they could have got that was better than Lopez.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of keeping a pitcher. That's my strategy. Just my thoughts overall. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big into that. But looking at comparing some of these, I don't know if Devers is better than Christian Walker, for example, who's in the rankings looking, he's a couple players lower, a couple mm-hmm. ranks lower, but a way cheaper price. I don't get it. I agree. I think they could have, if they were a little bit more active with the amount of money that they had, they could have really improved their keepers. And we all know this is how they are, though. Like, for the most part, they're not like always the most active trade teams. And look, they weren't necessarily in basketball and they're fighting for a bye. So it's hard, but they also have very good keep. But they had the best keepers in basketball, too, though.
For the price, 100% they did.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go from a different perspective, right? They're going to be spending in this draft. They have to be.
And you bring up a good point. It's a risk. We don't know, given how basketball went. Like, I know Donnie mm-hmm. is like really on the fence of like baseball is going to go nuts because of basketball. I don't know mm-hmm. if that's the case or not.
Right.
But there are going to be guys like Freddie Freeman. I'm really interested how much he goes for.
He's going to wind up in the 50s for the teams that are trying, because you're not going to keep him again next year. But that guy is a five tool person who I had a really hard time not keeping him. And frankly, if I was in the running this year, I would have been more active in trying to move Otani. And I would have gone with Freddie with my core. But it's hard to argue. If you go back at 10 years, Freddie Freeman's the best hitter in baseball over the last 10 years, without a doubt. If you look at what he's done every year in his stats, he blows everybody away. And I'd put Trout in that conversation. He is absolutely the best hitter in baseball for the last decade.
And this is where I'm going to give Pablo Lopez my, I don't think he's rank wise the worst keeper. I tried to trade for Pablo Lopez last year. I was all about it. But so the quote I have is, Leonardo says, take the ugly one. Rafael says, no, you take the ugly one. Donatello says, I'll take the ugly one. And Michelangelo says, which one's the ugly one? And I'm going to say Pablo Lopez. I don't love keeping pitchers. Two, there's probably other pitchers that you could have gone that were ranked higher that you could have mm-hmm. that you could have traded for nothing that would have been 15. So you would have got them for anywhere from 16 to 18 if you're going to go that route. Don't.
Or just frankly, why? If you don't like your third keeper, don't keep them.
Yeah. I didn't really, looking at their team right now, we're doing this on the fly here. No. Could you have kept Chisholm? I know he's been hurt, but for 28, like, I don't know. I don't love it. And like, how many guys could you have traded for two that you would have traded $2-3 and you could have kept them for 18. So they would have been 20 total. That's the stuff where
my guess is they were going to keep Sandy and then Sandy's out. Right. And I know Vlad cost a lot of money. There's a lot of recency bias. Last year's baseball season was weird, right? Even with your point on Devers, I think that's hurting him a little bit. Devers is a stud, but Boston was dead all year. So Devers' stats were bad, right? And at third base, I think he's the best third baseman this year because Boston's healthy. But mm-hmm. there's always recency bias, right? Jazz Chisholm's a perfect example of that. Going into last year, he was a sleeper, and then this guy can't stay healthy. But again, when they started seeing the lay of the land, I don't even think they went out and solicited people for, hey, what are you doing with your keepers? Who you're doing? And I think that's why I had him so low in mind. Who do you have at 8?
I have Grands. Reiterating, I actually don't mind the two keeper strategy. I actually think more of us should probably do that. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of budget. They're coming in with the least amount, and keeping two guys at 12% of their budget, I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. Kettle Marte is technically at a prime position, so I guess that's, I get why they wanted to keep him in a 15. He's good. He might have gone, I don't know how much he would go for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, reiterating all that you said, like Austin Riley's solid. Kettle Marte for his position is good, but like how much would it have cost you to get, I don't know, another shortstop that's a tier above? And I think that's where I would have thought about it a little bit differently. Okay, yes, I can keep him for 15, or I can spend and get like a Lindor type for a total with the, what I spent for 25.
Yeah.
Does that really move the needle? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't, but I think they were in a tough spot because they spent, they had the least amount of money going in. And so it's, you know, there's going to be some really a lot of bargain or dumpster divers in this draft. There's going to be some guys who go for a lot, but then it's really going to matter who is going to go for the $3 at the end of the draft, or the $4, the $5, the 7. That range is going to be really interesting to see which players go for.
That happened in basketball too. You just had at the end, I was, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. I was doing that too. And I wound up getting guys like Tobias Harris for $4 and, you know, just solid. They're going to be every day. You're not going to hurt me anywhere. Baseball, I think you're going to get a lot of, because there's so many guys, you're going to get a lot of guys for a dollar that is going to sit in someone's utility the entire season and produce. Good point. And this is where,
and not to mention pickups. There's a lot of pickups too. Baseball is, I would argue, the most important sport for pickups.
It's why it's the hardest sport to be good at, because it's not just drafting. It is knowing prospects, where they are in the system, to when they're coming up, and then hedging guys that are in right now to be like, yeah, this guy's starting right now and he's hitting three, but this team has two guys in the farm system. If they come up, they're going to be high and he's going to drop down to the 6 halfway through the season. So a lot of that going on.
I love baseball because there are certain, and I know Donnie fills this for sure, and Zach is definitely on here, but like, how much do you weigh looking for that, like that top prospect early? Right. And getting him right when he picks up, and like, how do you waste a roster spot on him before he comes up, before he's a full-time player?
Yep.
And then the other thing that changes things in the league is that everyone's a minimum 15, right?
Yep.
So you really gotta, it's worth a lot to make that. And
good point to point out too, for our rules, you can draft a minor league player. They have to take your bench spot. We don't have a minor league spot, but it's not illegal to pick up a guy in the minors and hold him. But you're giving up your benches and you still have to be able to field a full lineup. If a guy gets hurt and one of your bench spots is a minor league guy and you can't move someone to that starting position, you can't have the minor league guy in your spot anymore. But I know people always wonder, can I grab this guy yet? He's not being called up. The answer is yes. You just still have to have a valid lineup. So,
yeah, that's a good point. I didn't realize that. All right, let's go into which would be the 7th. Ranking.
So just real quick follow-up. My 8 was Grack. Same reasons you
said. Oh, sorry. My fault.
No, it's, we don't have to rehash it. I had the same feeling. I think they had the worst keepers, but I did think they got a little more value. So my 7, I wound up with Brusser. I like the value. I like the spend. But again, two pitchers. As a person who did pitching strategy forever, I think you could get Gallen for that price. I think you get Castillo for that price. You didn't have to keep him, right? But he gets a big pickup because he has Tatis for nothing. He's keeping him for $27, and I think he's going to go for, he would have gone for 45 or 50. Really nice keeper level there. I also penalized him a little bit because I think he had a really good team that he kind of, I probably would have gone a Lindor over one of those pitchers. I don't mind a lot of what he had there, but yeah, I don't know. That's why he went up with my 7. Who do you have?
Yeah, so I think really quickly before I go in, I'm now based on ranking, like we are in another tier. Right.
Yes. This,
I think there are
three, four
tiers in the rankings. We had the bottom three, which in any order was Granz, Gerber, Grack, which now we're into another tier. I actually had Sam here.
Yep.
I had Sam here. I don't. And so I think we're in another tier where a lot of the next, in my opinion, four teams could be changed, can be interchanged where they would go in the next rankings. I don't hate his keepers. Gunnar is ranked low, but he's a young player who can have a fucking huge follow-up season to what he did last year. And I get him at $15. Like it's worth it. Julio had a really good season last year, not as good as his rookie, right? But he could bounce back. So I'm not mad at that either. And Seager is just like as solid as it gets across the board. I like his team. I think if at 15% for out of the 472, like it makes a lot of sense. You can see like Gunner maybe.
I love that.
He got him for nothing, and Gerbert had to make the trade. And I think I wonder if they regret it.
But I mean, looking at Gerbert's rankings, that trade hurts them a lot.
Yeah,
they should have. They should have kept Gunner and not Pablo, and they pop way up on this list.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm looking. So right now on this, according to Fantasy Pros, Gunner's at a 37 rank of the hitters, and Seager is 16th, right? I think Sam's got a fine team. And looking at it now, I probably should have him up. Julio, based off of his steals, home runs, he's super solid. And getting him at 40s is a massive get, but I had him here. I probably should have jumped him a little bit higher now looking at it.
Yeah, I have Sam pretty high, but yeah. Okay. Let's see.
Next one.
We're at six?
We're at six.
So my six goes to Foe for a few reasons. Keeping three Yankees. One, we give Brad a lot of shit for being a homer. This is probably the most homer in history of our decades of doing this.
Joe is a Yankees fan.
Yes, this is a major homer. You can't fault it. Judge and Soto are rock stars. And Cole's a top five pitcher. One, my award for take the ugly one. The worst keeper value that has been taken at this point is Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole for $47 is absurd. Absurd. You can't do it. And then you combine that with taking three Yankees. If they implode for any reason, you're screwed in that plan. So this is why I have them so low. I think they had overall the worst value for keeper. They got Soto at probably his cost. They got Judge at maybe a little bit less than his cost. And then with Cole being so drastically over what the cost would be, I had them in my sixth spot here. What about you?
I have Tim. And the biggest reason is keeping Strider for 39, keeping one pitcher. And we'll get into this a little bit more, but I don't like the idea of keeping one pitcher. I just don't think you're getting the value.
But if he's the best pitcher? So how do you take Cole? Because the Foe did the same thing, but spent $10 more for Cole than Tim is playing for Strider.
They're next on my list.
Okay.
They're next on my list. I just think that they're, and again, these next four can be interchanged.
Yeah, we're in the tier two.
It's very close.
Yeah.
Strider is the best pitcher.
Yep.
Without a doubt, if he was available in the draft, I probably would have gone for him and tried to get him.
Yeah.
I just think there's too much variance in getting a pitcher
year to year.
In the fact of a player, and I get like the counter argument of if they only pitch once in a week, that makes them more valuable. I totally get that. Like I understand, but if you have one good pitcher, one really good pitcher, and four other shit ones, guess what? That fucking dilutes it by a lot, in my opinion.
Right.
And so I think you can get a lot more pitchers around the $20 range, $25 range, even less. Or even do pickups as well. Simeon last year was a fucking unbelievable year.
Right.
Unbelievable year. I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I'm no, just it's burned, by I'm burned in my brain of his years with the A's where he was like barely a 250 hitter.
Yep.
And maybe he made that jump. Maybe he is this player, but I just don't know if he's there yet. But again, I think the next few can all be interchanged.
The one thing with Simeon is I do give it's a thin position this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you look past the top three guys and you're like, it's just a crapshoot after that. So I do put him in that tier two, maybe tier one, or he could go back to tier four as a guy. But I agree with you because I have Tim right next in line by four. Mm-hmm. So Tim's my five. And the same reason, just the Cole thing swung it the other way for me, right? Because I look at the rest of his team, like I love Mookie Betts in that lineup. And even for $44, it's worth it. He's going to lead off. He's going to have 130 runs this year.
Quick question. Are we considering the increases for keeping a player? Have we considered that? Because we didn't do that for...
So the way our rules work is it's a little confusing because we had the holdover keepers, but that doesn't penalize people because that was just pre. So we're in year two. So the rule is the first year you keep him, which is the first year you're keeping players, there's $0 increase. The next year, it goes up $7 a year. So it's a little confusing because we had that little carryover time, but there were no one had an increase in cost in basketball for keeping their guys this year. There won't be one in football. But then when we go into year three, everyone that was kept last year, as long as they're not traded, will get a $7 increase.
I see. Okay, yeah. So that really comes into effect from year two to year three.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, but Tim was my five, same reasons you had there. He spent a lot for the three guys, and I like Strider. I think his overall stats didn't look as good because he was hurt a little bit, but when you dig into his metrics, he was lights out last year, and that lineup was so much run support. And one of our categories being net wins, I think he's going to be the highest net win pitcher this year. So I don't mind that. I feel the same way on Simeon, and I like Mookie, but again, he has the war chest a little bit. He has some money going in. So I don't think he got a lot of value over the guys for what he kept them for, which moves him down my list a little bit, but he had so much money, I didn't really penalize him too much. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. And so I have next year, I have in Forrest, all the things you said, like it's a lot for Garrett Cole. It's a lot for, you're banking on Aaron Judge making that bounce back from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's where you hope he goes. Like, yep. Obviously he's going to hit 60 plus homers. I don't know. That's probably unlikely. But yeah, the pitcher at almost 50 is a really tough, which is why I don't argue with you dropping him three spots from where I have him here.
His keepers are great. You look at like where they're ranked and projected, they are great keepers. For me, it was the most spend of any team, and it was the worst value of the spend of any team. And then when you add in the fact that they're all on the same team in a division that's not an easy division, right? The Orioles look good this year. Their pitching looks good. They're even with the Rays losing McClanahan for probably half the season, their pitching isn't bad. Mm-hmm. You get Toronto in there. It's the Red Sox coming back. That's not an easy division. And you're keeping a pitcher in that division. That's brutal.
I think about it now. Because now they're going to be... Because this total, you subtract the keepers from their totals, right, Johnny?
Yeah, not in the funds that are on the spreadsheet right now. Not yet. So that
does not take in...
That is their total dollars, their less keeper. Not keepers, dollars still in there. So
yeah,
they went... Okay, let's see. Their cost for that team was $132.
$132.
It's a lot of money. It's 26% of their budget. And it's... As someone... Look, I don't mind it. I'm in the same boat as them with it. But I think I got a lot more value for the guys I kept... versus that. And that's where the Cole thing hurts them.
Yeah, I think the challenge is, imagine you don't keep Cole at all. You just don't keep him. You put $47 back on the books.
Yep.
And maybe you don't replace him with somebody, or you get... They had, looking at Jaren Duran, is he worth a keeper? Maybe not. I don't know, but he has high upside potentially. Maybe
I'd be fine with them keeping a guy like... For $15, Christian Javier, and hoping he bounces back in that Houston lineup. But there's a lot there where it's another team I think could have made a move, right? We talked about Gerber being penalized for that. I think they could have made a move. If they're going to spend $47, hell, why wouldn't you go for Freddie Freeman for $31, $33? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you go and see if you can get Bo Bichette from Gerber for $38? I think it hurts them there. It's bad. So this is where I do have the end of my... This is where my Sam is. Sam's my four. The reason we talked about it, I love Julio for $40. He's a stud. He's young. No increase there. And looking at the rest of his team, I thought it was good. I love Gunnar for $15. You're going to lock this kid up forever. Yeah. And Seager is the guy on the Rangers that even in a down year, he's still going to pop. And so I like his keepers there. I like the value he got for his keepers, and I like the overall spend for his budget. I thought he did pretty good, but that's,
No, you convinced me from the moment that I probably should have jumped him up like two, three spots or had him closer. I think like I was moving things around.
Yeah, it's hard. It's not easy. So if that moves Sam to your four or five, what did that do? Who dropped down? That moved like Tim.
So I have in my order, I went Sam, then Tim, then Foe.
Okay.
And then I have Brusser here. And so the difference, because I said I didn't like pitcher. If you're going to keep pitchers, like you should keep it. You need to keep at least two, in my opinion, or even three and go for it.
So you
especially within an auction draft.
Right.
In my opinion.
I don't even, is it Zach Gallen or Guyon? I don't know if that's
Zach Gallen. Yeah,
he's fucking as good as they get. He's really good. Castillo is really solid as well, and finally came into all the hype of what he is, like, coming into the league. And those are really cheap keepers. Fernando is an absolute steal at 27, without a doubt. He's probably $20 cheaper than what he would go for in the draft.
Yep.
And looking at their team, I don't know what they would have done differently. Maybe kept Lindor. Maybe that's the only thing I would have argued with.
Oh, it's funny, though. Gave Brad shit for keeping Lindor for years, and he kept him through years. We're like, why are you keeping Lindor? And this is the first year where he doesn't do it. And now we're like, why aren't you keeping Lindor?
He's just, like, really solid. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Lindor did have a couple down years there.
That's my problem with Castillo and Gallen. Look, you look at their records and pitchers in general. Yeah, I think they did great last year. But go back to the year before that for those two. Horrible. Castillo couldn't go through four innings. His ERA was like 4.2 or something. It was nuts. And Gallen had the same thing. He's younger, right? So he was still getting, and he was a prospect for a while. But then out of nowhere, the D-backs decide they're going to be in the championship of the NL.
They were in the World Series.
They beat the Phillies. That's right.
Two years ago, I picked him up and he was fucking solid. That's when I was like, damn, this kid is really good.
Yeah. But just volatility with pitchers. Yeah. For sure.
And that's what strikes me. Whereas, like, you lessen that volatility when you have two pitchers.
Yeah.
Right. And I think you can get steals in auctions that you have more control of than you could have with the snake draft.
Yep.
Right. Or just a normal draft. And so that's why I don't mind keeping two. But one, I just don't see it, especially at high price. Sure. Who do you have at three?
So this is where my elite, we're going into this is my elite next tier now, right? Tough on two and three because they're in the spots they are for completely different reasons, right? So when I look at this, I do have you in the three. And the only reason, your keepers are
I do too.
Phenomenal.
I do too. I'm in the top. I put myself in the three.
And the reason is only percent of budget. And you have a lot, though, right? And you're going for it. So it's just the value of a replacement. And it's hard because when I look at your group and I'm like, okay, so you're doing Albies, by far the second baseman anyone would want, and you're getting him for less. That's great. Turner, probably a little bit more. But again, a guy who's a five-tool guy in a good lineup. He's going to get on. He's going to run. And you get Kyle Tucker for value. So when I look at it, it's you're not getting a lot of value there. But then again, if you put Trey Turner out, he's going to go for 40 with people having money, right? So that's why I have you in the three, but you're going for it. I wouldn't have done anything different. It's just it edged a little bit differently for me compared to the last two teams.
Yeah, we'll get into the next teams. I don't want to spend too much on it, but I think you nailed on the head. Like, it's percentage of budget. We have the second most, actually not remaining, but we had the most going in.
Yeah.
And then, but we won't have the most after it. Mm-hmm. My thoughts were these guys, I didn't want to dick around. I wanted to keep the best guys for the strategy that I'm going for and control the categories that I can possibly try to control. And again, it's a large amount of the budget, so I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. I have Donnie in the two. And this one was compared to like the three teams that were left, you, me, and Donnie, they had the worst overall keepers of our three groups. But I think they have probably the best value over replacement. One, Corbin Carroll for $15 forever is going to be a problem in our league. Olsen, hard for me. He had a phenomenal year in that lineup. It's another example of an Oakland A leaving in their prime, going to a couple teams, and then winding up being a stud. I expect some regression from last year from Olsen, right? I don't see the exact same thing happening, but again, for $24, at a deeper position than people think first base this year, I still like that. And Ellie, again, you're getting $15 forever. He came onto the scene and was wild, but if you look at how he panned out, pitchers figured him out a little bit last year. The Reds were hot for a bit, and then they fell apart. I think that's about, if you look at any who's the biggest bust list this year for their draft position versus what they're going for, Ellie De La Cruz is the number one guy on everyone's list because they remember that when he came on the scene and he hit 6 home runs in 12 games and stole like 20 bags, they remember that. Not saying it's a bad long-term guy. You obviously have to keep Ellie De La Cruz for $15 forever, but that's where he came down a little bit on me. But their budget spend was great compared to teams. The value they got out of those guys is one of the highest. So that's why I had him at the two.
And so I actually have you in the second spot, sure, and Donnie in the first spot, purely because of a lot of the things you said. More of, I mean, your keepers are unbelievable. There's no questions about it. It's just a percentage. Like, you have 28% of your remaining budget. Mm-hmm. And so now, doing the quick math, if we're doing it, so you kept him for 119. So we have, doing this now.
Yeah.
Like, you have 297 going into this draft and the remaining, right? And so I think they're like, that's just a big hit. But I think, I don't think anybody would disagree with why you kept, you're putting yourself in an incredible spot to be a top two team, like right off the bat, assuming there's no injuries. And then with Donnie's team, low budget for the amount that they're, for what they're keeping. And Ellie De La Cruz, he might be a low ranked hitter on the fantasy pros, but he still had he still missed. You need to add 200 more at bats.
No, yeah,
200 more at bats. You're going to see those numbers increase. So I don't think there's going to be any.
I put Ellie in the same boat where Gunnar is. I think Gunnar's a little bit ahead of him on a better lineup, right? So it's the same thing though, right? They're young. They're going to get figured out a bit. They're going to have to adjust. They're going to have to keep going. But yeah, there's no world where keeping Ellie and Carol for $15 each is bad, right? And they're set up that probably next year and 2 years from now, you're talking about him having the two of the top 10 guys.
Your keepers, and like why you decided not to keep Freeman.
It was back and forth a lot. So,
and why was he like not traded? If I was in your shoes, I don't know if I would have traded him for the only reason that like he would go for
it's part of it.
A lot in the draft.
It's part of it. So part of it is the strategy of
you. But you didn't get a lot of offers. Is that what you just said? You just said you didn't get any offers.
I solicited my own group. Otani is a bigger name, but I got one offer for Otani for $15. It's close. It was very close. And I said, I'll give you Freddie for $15. And they said, think about it. You didn't come back. And,
wow.
And for me, I was back and forth every day. No, I'm gonna move. If someone came forward for Otani with a big offer, $15, maybe $20, I would have moved Otani. The reality is, you look at Otani's numbers, and I don't know. Have you ever seen Otani hit? Have you gone to a game and watched? It's unbelievable.
No.
I went to a game. I think it was A's Angels in Oakland, and it's like seeing Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit. When he hits the ball, it sounds like lightning. It's just striking.
Yeah.
Except for you get a little bit more plate discipline with Otani. The reality for me here is, I was a little back and forth if they're going to let him run with the arm. But then I looked at some others. Will they let him slide? Because he's a head first slider. I'm like, jam that arm, sliding into second, things like that. But you take into account that he's only going to DH and not pitch this year. And now you're hitting in between Mookie and Freddie. Yeah, I can take a little bit of stolen base regression for the sheer run support he's going to have on this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay because you have a guy who fucking had 73 stolen bases.
Oh, yeah. And I have, I think, arguably the number one and two stolen base guy this year in Bobby and Acuna.
Looking at stolen bases, Acuna's one and Witt was four. So I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. And so let's just break it down. Acuna for $50, the highest kept player, it's still a steal. You put that guy back in the draft, he's going for 60 or 70. In that lineup with what he was a 40-70 season last year. So there was no world where he was going anywhere. And next year, 57, I'm keeping him. Unless someone comes forward with a top 10 guy that gets hurt and is willing to give me a ransom. Let's say Sam has Julio go down this year. Okay. Yeah, Sam, you want Acuna, you give me Julio and $50. We can talk. But he's not going anywhere. Yeah. And so then it came down to, I've had Freddie Freeman forever in the parliament. I think every season I've kept him. I've, even when we were back and in the purge, I've had him the whole time. There just wasn't an offer there. And to your point, I know I spent the most. I'm not done. If you want my strategy on this one, is I'm keeping one guy in football. And arguably, because of how football waivers work, you can build a roster off the waivers. Look at Brad. Brad won last year. The one thing I took away from last season was Brad drafted 5 defenses and 2 kickers, held 2 kickers on his roster the entire season and won. And he did it because he was great on the, he got Kyron on Williams. Waivers,
yeah.
He was great on the waiver wire. My strategy going into this is, one, if something goes wrong, I have 3 guys I can charge a ransom for and probably get a top 10 keeper back.
Yeah, I think we'll close off here in a second.
Yeah.
I think it is going to be very interesting within, once we have a rough idea of how baseball is being, how it's going to play out, mm-hmm. like maybe a third into the season, yep. I think we're going to have some really interesting trades happen.
Yep.
And a lot of money getting thrown. I think there hasn't, yep. Obviously Joker was a big trade on when we did that, mm-hmm. but I think everyone wants to see how it plays out in baseball, and yep. then it's going to be, I think all hell is going to break.
It all ties in. If I sneak into basketball playoffs, that changes things, right? Now I'm a buyer through this. And because even with these three guys, Brad Point, he had a great text. Like you could be like the Angels, right? It's like Otani did something that's never been done before in baseball, and Acuna stole five bags, and Johnny's in eighth place. Look, I was in ninth place with this roster last year, and I had Freeman and Austin Riley and Kevin Gausman and McClanahan. So you don't know what's going to happen, right? But the strategy going in is, I'm probably going to be a spender in this draft. I'm going to go in. I got a question. Do we have a minimum for football? The answer is we voted. It never got approved. You have what you have to do is you have to have enough money to draft every single player for a dollar. Now, I'm not going to do that. That would be a dead last place. And I don't recommend anyone.
I thought we had a minimum of 100 or 150.
For one, we talked about it. And like when we put it up to the vote, everyone should be able to manage their own. So the rule that it got set in was you can't just spend it all. You have to have money to draft in the draft, which I don't know the exact number, but I think.
Or you could do what Greg does and just leave money on the table.
Left 8 bucks. 30 bucks. It's one of those things where I'm not going to go that low. I'm not going to go crazy. But yeah, so I have $300 left. I could see myself in the $150, $200 range still in this draft, leaving myself with $100 for football when I may be keeping a guy or none, right? And just going in with that amount of money and just building a mid-tier team or making trades, right? But you can always build it back up. So that was the strategy with it. I get the logic. It is I wasn't the highest dollar spend. I was the second highest dollar spend, but the highest percentage of budget. But I couldn't get around it. And Freddie would have saved me $4 from Otani. So then I looked at...
Yeah, you're in a tough spot. But I think either way, like now, yes, it would have given you... Like, what I would have probably weighed in your shoes is, okay, so I could get an extra 15 mm-hmm. and somebody has to keep them. Or I can see somebody else who wants to go for it also have to spend, right?
Yeah, where I was sitting
was... Or I can do it myself.
If anyone came forward with 15 for Freeman or 20 for Otani, they would have moved because of that value. I would have kept the other one and then add that to my budget and done it. But the offers weren't there. And Brad's point, another good point for Brad was it's really hard to trade guys on auction because they're weighing, okay, now I'm getting $15 plus their keeper value. Is it worth it? And it really only matters to your point, which is people have to have a war chest to want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot.
So the final award I'm giving to myself for most. Donnie turns to Mike and he goes, hey, is this going to work? And Michelangelo turns around and goes, is like Schwarzenegger hard to spell? That's where I'm at. I don't know. It's a risk, right? I'm spending a lot. Stand by it. I think baseball, your top end talent is very important. It's a very deep league. So you can build out a lot of guys that do about the same thing. But at the top, when you're talking like those five tool assets, there's not very many.
Mm-hmm. We are, again, still in the second season. I've said it on many pods. We're still figuring out the strategies, everyone's individual strategies, how to handle the auction, how to handle the money, the transferring back and forth. And I'm sure after this season, we're going to have to vote on some rules. So I think
we're going to find out, too. You had three teams go with your strategy, right, which was we're going to punt away and build a war chest. And then we're going to get data. How'd that work out? How did those teams? Yeah. I think it was what? You, Foe, and Grants had the most money?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, all three of you were in the driver's seat for basketball. And so it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of The Purge. Johnny, as always, hopefully it's not too... We don't have a lot of space in between this. We're going to have, I think, Josh come on another episode to talk about the draft and the details there. And then we can talk a little bit more. We need to get somebody on to talk about like how we feel the teams are in baseball after we do the draft on Sunday. John, so everyone remember, it is 7 p.m.
Pacific time this Sunday. Appreciate everyone dealing with our surveys and going back and forth to make sure we got it. I think we wound up in a good spot. We are a little earlier than I'd like to be, but being 2 weeks early, is fine. We don't have anyone that can't make it. Everyone's going to be able to get on and do it. Sunday night draft's still the weekend, so you can have a few beers and chill.
I'm not big on the injuries. It's more of guys like Snell.
Right.
Aren't
signed.
Like, aren't picked up. That's the ones where...
Yeah, but you know, a week difference, yeah, you get to see his landing spot. So you might get a little discount there, but maybe not. Maybe. The rumors are out there that he's looking at the Giants and the Yankees, right? And
yeah,
either way, I think you're like, okay, you're either in a good offensive team or you're in a pitcher's park.
Yeah. Cool. Exactly. All right. Peace out.
Go fuck yourself.